Come on, give you air hugs and you may be seated, and welcome those that are watching from our Church From Home Network. We're so glad that you're here. I just wanted to first start off by welcoming any guests. Believe it or not, there are some new faces even hidden behind those masks. And so we want to welcome you. If this is your first time, we do have a gift for you on your way out. We have a gift box for you just for taking a step of faith and being with us during these times. I call them strange times. So thank you for being with us. Can we give all of our first-time guests, and if you're watching from home, a warm welcome today? Wait, we can do better than that. We're Real Life Church. All right. I also wanted to just thank all of you who gave us your vote of confidence after 3 years. It's written in our bylaws. After becoming the lead pastor here, we get a vote of affirmation, making sure that we're doing a good job. And so we were unanimously affirmed last week. So thank you. Thank you. And that just means that you're stuck with Amy and I forever, all right? So thank you for that. And then want to just explain really quick why we're flipping service upside down. How many know we're from an upside down kingdom? It's okay to do church a little differently. I told you from the very beginning back in March that we were not going to be reactionary leaders, that we'd prayerfully respond. We're not going to be fearful. We're going to be mindful. We're not going to be fearful. We're going to be mindful. And we're going to think of others first, then ourselves. And so we're flipping service upside down. Because a lot of people obviously have asked us, what are you going to do about worship? What are you going to do about worship? Can I just say this? First of all, worship goes beyond just music. It does. Worship goes beyond just music. We worship and give God glory with everything we do in our lives. To God be the glory. Amen. But as far as our worship services, today we're going to flip them upside down. So if those of you that came in not knowing what to expect, if you feel like at the end you're uncomfortable joining us for worship, you are okay to exit at your leisure. But at the end, we're going to take communion and then go into an extended time of worship. How many need a little worship, right? You need a little praise. And so that's the way we're going to go this morning. And appreciate you guys helping us and praying for us as we navigate all of this. Again, every week we're reevaluating as a leadership team and then making our decisions from there. Sometimes it's too late in the week to make different changes and things that, you know, were really out of our control. And so I am certain that you are all aware anytime you're in any type of gathering, whether you were with friends last night or gathering with friends or for lunch or wherever you're at risk, all right? So I think we all understand the risk every time we're gathering with people. And so I just want to preface that if you're ever uncomfortable, you don't hurt my feelings if you have to go. But we're going to worship and have communion at the end. Is that all right? You guys with me? All right, we're going to jump into the Word. But before we do, let me just pray. And we prayed this simple prayer last week, and hopefully you've been praying it all throughout the week, but it was this: Jesus, repeat it after me, Jesus, be glorified. Can we just do that for a moment with your hands just lifted right where you're at? No matter what situation, circumstance, whatever you're facing, whatever's got you discouraged, whatever's got you down, whatever you're looking at, whatever mountain may be in your way, can you just say that, Jesus, be glorified? Listen, over every sickness, Jesus, be glorified. Over every financial hardship, Jesus, be glorified. God, we thank you that you're going to be high and lifted up, and we exalt you. We exalt you above everything else, oh God. Lord, we glorify you today with our entire lives. This entire service, I pray, would bring you glory, God. This entire service, Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen and amen. Well, let me just give you a quick review of last week. We learned last week that the answer to Jesus's prayer, asking his Father to be glorified, was fulfilled at the cross of Calvary when he was crucified. So Jesus was glorified at the moment he was crucified. And we learned that the glory of God is only going to be revealed through his crucified body. And we are that body. We are the body of Christ. And we must identify with his death if we're going to see kingdom life spring forth from dead places. Did you hear what I just said? We are the body of Christ, and we must identify with Jesus's death if we're going to see kingdom life spring forth from dead places, dead to our sinful nature, no longer slaves to sin, a life where the power of sin is broken. And I said that a multi-ethnic mosaic, which I believe is what God is piecing together here in Natomas, in North Sacramento, God is putting together a multi-ethnic mosaic, and it's going to be pieced together through a Christ-centered gospel that not only preaches salvation to all people, but demonstrates the gospel by living it out with all people. How many know there's a difference? How many know as a people, as a church, we've got to practice what we preach? And I challenged you, how many know this? Let me just say this. People don't care what you're preaching unless you're practicing it. Amen? And I challenge you to pray the simple prayer that we just prayed. Jesus, be glorified. And I want you to continue to pray that simple prayer. You say, does Jesus really answer that prayer? And I would just ask you, does Jesus want to be glorified in this day? Does Jesus want to be glorified? Does he want his Father to be glorified today? Yes, he does. So I want to just continue to challenge you to declare, Jesus be glorified over your circumstance, situation, relational conflict, whatever it may be. We say, Jesus be glorified. You see, when Jesus is glorified and we identify with the finished work, how many know the work on the cross is finished? When we identify, wait, you guys didn't answer me. I've got to give me some feedback. When we identify with the finished work on the cross, we also become sanctified. The message I want to share with you today is called Sanctified, Be Sanctified, Set Apart to Be Apart. Everybody say, be sanctified. So now we know that Jesus started off his prayer praying for himself, which is a prayer that we can pray today. God, I want Jesus be glorified. Father, I want you to be glorified in my life, Jesus prayed. And we need to pray the same things because it's an answer the Father wants. It's a prayer the Father wants to answer. Jesus be glorified in my life. And now Jesus changes the focal point of his prayer to his followers, his disciples. And he prays to his Father, God, these 12 men that you've given to me, now 11 that he's praying for because he lost one, right? Judas. He's saying, God, be sanctified in them as I am sanctified, as I am set apart. God, as I am separated from this world. God, be sanctified in the lives of my followers. Jesus is praying for his disciples in John 17, 6 through 19, and we're going to read the entire thing. It's going to take a minute. It'll be up on the screens. It says, I've manifested your name to the men whom you've given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you, for I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Everybody say, Jesus be glorified. Now I'm no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those who you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition. Talking about Judas here, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. How many know, as followers and disciples of Christ, we need some joy. In this season that we're living in, we need the joy of the Lord. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I want to just talk to you really quickly about three critical needs for every Christ follower to understand in this hour. And it is this: we need fresh revelation, we need fresh impartation, and we need a fresh understanding of what it means to be sanctified, or sanctification. It leads me to my first point. We need a fresh revelation of his name. Jesus said at the beginning of his prayers for his followers, his disciples, he said, I have manifested or revealed your name to the men you have given me. You see, the names of God is a powerful study. Some of you have studied the names of God. But for this morning, in our short time we have together, let's just start with one of the names of Jesus. Matthew 1:23. We read this scripture a lot during the Christmas season, but it says, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, translated, God is with us. How many know there's power in the name of Jesus? And it says, his name shall be called Emmanuel. God is with us. So the revelation that we need in that name is, if God is with us, come on, how many know God hasn't abandoned us? If God is with us, he hasn't abandoned us in the pandemic. If God is with us, he hasn't forgotten about us. Even isolated and in shelter in place mode, come on, disconnected from one another, God is still with us. And he has not forsaken us. He will not forsake his church in this hour. It doesn't matter what comes against us. Because how many know nothing can come against us if he is for us? God is with us, and because he is with us, he is for us. And because he is for us, who can be against us? Isaiah says this about Jesus' name. He said that his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. How many know when we call on that name, come on, Jesus reveals himself and he's glorified in our lives. When you don't know what to do and you call on the name of Jesus, how many know he can reveal himself as your counselor? Can I just tell you, as your pastor, I've been calling on my counselor a lot. I'm not ashamed. I need a counselor in this moment. Jesus himself taught us how to pray, our Father who art in heaven, Luke chapter 11, hallowed be thy name. He said you need to call on the name of the Father. You need to call on the names of God. You see why? When I call on and revere and honor his name, God reveals his nature and character. When God reveals his nature and character, I have a personal encounter with who he is. And when I encounter who he is, I experience firsthand all that he does. You see, many of us are seeking God for what he does instead of seeking him for who he is. And I would just challenge you to just call on his name in this hour. Listen, if you're feeling like he's abandoned you, listen, say, God, you're with me. Listen, if you're needing help, listen, say, God, you're my counselor. Listen, if you've been robbed of your peace, call on Jesus and say, you're the Prince of Peace. I remember when I first started learning how to pray. I don't know if any of you are old enough. I just turned 50. But I don't know if you're any old enough to be learning from Dr. Larry Lee. And I learned how to pray off of Dr. Larry Lee's prayer card. And he taught us how to hallow the name of the Lord. And these things are imprinted in my mind. You see, when we call on his name, God reveals his nature so I can believe and receive. So I can believe in his name and I can receive his nature. So I would call on his name, Jehovah Tsidkenu, my righteousness. Jehovah Makedesh, Jehovah who sanctifies. Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah is peace. Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah is there. Jehovah heals, Jehovah is my healer. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Nisi, my banner. Jehovah Rohi, my shepherd. When I call on his name, listen, he reveals his nature and character to me. Listen, I was calling on Jehovah Jireh way before I ever experienced his provision. I was calling on the healer way before I ever encountered his healing. John 1:12 gives us some insight into this. Jesus said this, but as many as received him, or John said this, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Everybody say, of God. You see, when I receive Jesus, and the name Jesus means God is salvation. When I receive Jesus as my Savior, when I believe in the name of Jesus, I become a partaker in the divine nature. 2 Peter 1:3-4, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself. Listen to this, by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. Everybody say, Jesus be glorified. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. Here are the promises. I need you to listen. These are the promises that enable you to share in his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Listen, Peter reveals a secret to all believers. He says, here are the promises of his inheritance. Here are the promises of believing in his name. He said, the promises enable you to share in his divine nature. His promises enable you to escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. You see, we've got to understand this. When Jesus was glorified on the cross, the promise of sanctification, which sanctification is a big word that simply means this, set apart, separated, or holy. Set apart, separated, or holy. So that's why we're praying today, be sanctified. Set me apart, God, so I can be a part of influencing this world in a powerful way. When Jesus was glorified on the cross, the promise of sanctification was activated, and I became sanctified, set apart, and separated from my sin nature. I became a partaker of the divine nature. Everything, everyone say everything. Everything you and I needed for living a godly life. Everything at the moment Jesus Christ was crucified, at our access, at our fingertips, we have everything we need. You don't need a top 20 bookseller. You don't need the latest podcast. Come on, you don't need the latest cliches from a preacher, because you've got access to everything that you need through Jesus Christ being glorified. Everything I needed for living a godly life. And also this, so not only everything that I needed for a godly life, but the ability to escape the corruption of this world caused by my old nature. You see, this is important that we understand this. Sanctification is a promise, provided by Jesus' finished work on the cross, so you and I don't have to work hard at being holy because Jesus already did the hard work. Listen, you can never be good enough. You can never achieve holiness on your own. Because Jesus is holy, I am holy. He's the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. My righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. Through the crucifixion, the glorification of Jesus took place, and you and I received immediate sanctification. Immediately when Jesus Christ became your personal Lord and Savior, God set you apart. Immediately when you accepted Jesus Christ in your life, He separated you. You're still in the world, but not of the world. You're born of a different kingdom. That's why we say you're born again. And then Pastor Joseph Cisak taught us several months ago, if you're born again, you've got to be raised again. We've got to learn to walk in the ways of the kingdom, not the ways of the world. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, we've got to understand this. When you're sanctified, when you've been separated, it's like those gifts under the Christmas tree. You know, you wake up in that morning and you're just looking at the gifts that have your name on it. And sometimes, you know, when you get older, you get fewer gifts under the tree. I'm 50 years old. Every year I get fewer gifts. But when I see the gift, listen, I take the gift and I set it aside. And I say, that's my gift right there. And listen, that's what Jesus has done with you. You are God's gift to Jesus. You are the Father's gift to Jesus. And He looks at you and He sets you aside and He sets you apart and He says, I've got a plan. I've got a purpose for you. You see, you are a gift to God. He chose you out of this world so you can be a part of changing the world. You see, we will never change the world if we don't live set apart from the world. If we don't live a sanctified life, if we don't walk in the promise, not the process, if we don't walk in the promise of being set apart and separate, we'll never change the world. We'll be just like it. We'll be conformed to it and not transform it. It leads me to my second point, that we need a fresh impartation of His word. John 17, verse 6, I have manifested your name. Man, I feel like I'm exercising up here, y'all. I'm running out of breath. Woo! I'm preaching with passion. I'm sorry. I'm pouring out. I've manifested your name to the men whom you've given me. He says, Father, these men are a gift. Can I just tell you this? You're a gift to this church. You're a gift to this community. You're a gift to wherever you work. You're a gift to whoever is your friend. You're a gift of God. Jesus says, the men you've given me out of this world, they were yours, and you gave them to me. And they, listen to what He says, and they have kept your word. In this prayer, He uses two different words for the word word. How many know that's confusing? He uses two types of words, logos and rhema. When He says that you have gave them to me and they have kept your word, He says this, you've given them to me and they have kept your logos, the written word. You see, we have to understand that Jesus was the living embodiment of the written word, which is the fullness of truth and grace. John 1:14 gives us a glimpse of this. He says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Logos became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Let me just break this down for you. In other words, if you behold the glory of His word, the glory of His word is going to be holding you. How many of you understand when you keep the word will keep you? Jesus is saying the word will not only keep you in Christ, it will keep you from corruption. How many know the word, the power of the word, the power of the written word? Jesus tempted in the wilderness. He told the devil, no, it is written. The word will set you apart and keep you apart, and the impartation of the word will keep the separation between you and the corruption of the world. Psalm 119, verse 11, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. The second time the writer uses the word is later down in John 17, verse 8. He uses the word rhema. So we have logos and we have rhema. Rhema is the spoken word. In John 17, 8, he says, for I have given to them the words, rhema, which you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. So this is what I believe God is praying for his disciples. He's saying, not only have my disciples kept what's written, my disciples have received what's spoken. Just a reminder again, John 17, he is praying the things that he just taught in 14, 13, 14, 15, and 16. Look at John 15, 7 to 8. It says, if you abide in me, and my words, my rhema words, abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So sanctification is a promise, but sanctification is also the power of what's been written and what's been spoken, producing the fruit that lets people know that I'm following Jesus Christ. Can I tell you that again? Sanctification is a promise, but it is also the power of what's been written and what's been spoken, producing the fruit that lets people know who I'm following. Sanctification is the power of the word of truth and grace working in my life to produce fruit in my life. So how do our lives glorify the Father? Says right here, bear much fruit. What sets us apart and separates us as followers? Fruit. Fruit that only the sanctifying word of grace and truth produces in us and through us. You see, I believe if you remain in what's been written and you and I remain in what's been spoken, what we're asking for is going to be accomplished. We've got to be grounded in the written, the logos. And listen, we've got to be praying what he's saying in this hour, the rhema. And what we're asking for is going to be accomplished. So if you're asking today, what does this have to do with piecing together a multi-ethnic mosaic, which is the series that we're in? I said all what I've had to say today to get to this last point. It's this: we need a fresh understanding of sanctification. Obviously, we know that we're set apart from the world. John 17, you can just read it. The men you've given me out of the world. How do you know your neighbor is out? Come on, just tell him you're out of this world, right? God has plucked you out of this world. He says, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. John 17, verse 14. John 17, 15, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. I've read several posts. I just hope Jesus comes. I just hope Jesus just gets me out of this world. No, how many know Jesus wants us to change the world? Amen? I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Here's the thing that I feel like why we need a fresh revelation. When it comes to being sanctified, we've often just internalized it. We usually are just talking about it in the context of my relationship with God, and God is sanctifying me. It's a process, and I've learned that sanctification personally was a process of killing the old self. And that it was a lifelong extended journey of becoming holy. And it was a process of removing sin, progressively having one soul purged over an entire lifetime. How do you know if that is my belief of sanctification, I have sold short of what Jesus accomplished on the cross? It's true. Because why? We have said sanctification is a process, but sanctification is a person. Sanctification is Jesus. You see, we have to have a fresh revelation of his name and a fresh impartation of his word. And when I get that, listen, when I call on his name, Jehovah Makedesh, the Lord who sanctifies, it's the Lord, not Dean. It's the Lord's power. Listen, not my own effort. It's the Lord's strength. It's the Lord's grace. Come on, not following a formula to how to be holy. Listen, I am holy only because Jesus paid the price on the cross. Jesus is my sanctification. Remember, 1 Corinthians 1:30 says this, but of him you are in Christ Jesus. Everybody say in. In Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He became it for us. I don't walk in my own redemption. I don't walk in my own righteousness. How many know your own righteousness is self-righteousness? How many know your own sanctification is holy pride? It stinks, right? But listen, when I'm walking in the sanctification that the Lord Jesus has provided on his cross, my life is a fragrant aroma to those around me. They see Jesus being glorified in my life. Hebrews 10:10, it says, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. It didn't say we are sanctified through a lifetime of struggle, through a lifetime of struggling with our sin. No, no. He said, you're sanctified for what I did on the cross through the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So why do I tell you this? Because it's powerful. What's it mean for us as a church? What I'm trying to tell you is, listen, sanctification is not so you and I can just focus on what's wrong with us or what, you know, every day. It's just my own journey. I'm just struggling with it. I'm struggling with it my entire... No, 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 no. You've got sanctification all wrong. Because listen, when we collectively, when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we are set apart together. Not as individuals. This is what you have to get. We're not set apart as individuals. God doesn't say, I saved you and I'm setting you apart. I'm separating you so you can be alone. So you can be isolated and struggle all by yourself. We are set apart, and it's important that we understand this. As a collective group of people, as a church, do we really understand what we're being separated or set apart to? At the beginning of this year, I told you that we're going to have to protect the unity of this house. And how many know we can't protect the unity of the house if we don't understand what it means to be sanctified, what it means to be separate, or if we lack the understanding of what we've been separated to, what we've been separated for. Verse 17, sanctify them by your truth. Is this making sense to anybody? Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Not my truth. Your word is truth. Everybody got their own definition of truth. It's his truth that sanctifies. It's his truth that sets me apart. It's his truth that makes me different. Have you ever had somebody just say, what's different about you? It's not your goodness. Right? It's his truth and grace working through your life. Verse 18, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus said, verse 18, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Wait, his disciples haven't went anywhere, Jesus. Oh, yes, they have. When they believed in his name and they received, come on, his nature and character from another kingdom, God sends them back into the world, come on, from another kingdom, from another place. So what are we saved to? Can I just give you five things as we close today and as our worship team comes and we're going to take communion? The first thing that we are separated or set apart to is a body. Everyone say a sanctified body. 1 Corinthians 10, 12 to 13. Just as a body is one whole made up of many different parts, and all the different parts compromise the one body, so it is with the anointed one. We were all, everyone say all, ceremonially washed through baptism. How many of you ever been baptized? Listen, that is not only symbolic. It's a prophetic sign of what's actually happening in the spiritual realm. Listen, you've been united in his death. Come on, not only in his death, but our death, right? And we're unified together in the power of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. Ceremonially washed through baptism together into one body. How many bodies? By one Spirit, no matter our heritage, Jew or Greek, insider or outsider, no matter our status, oppressed or free, we are all given the one Spirit to drink. You see, I am a part of one body, a crucified body that glorifies Jesus, a sanctified body that next week Pastor Damien's going to talk about, a sanctified body that is unified. And the unified body, how many know Jesus goes on, and you're going to see this next week, is a witness to the world because we're not of this world. So we're saved into one body. How many bodies? One body. So how are you treating your body? How are we treating the body? What if I don't disagree? What if I don't agree with another part of my body? How do you know my body has to be aligned? You know, I got a little back issue going on. Started in my 40s. And this thing will stop me in my tracks. I mean, literally, for 2 or 3 days, if I don't watch it, if I don't get aligned, I will just freeze up. And listen, we can't allow, listen, our disagreements to get us freezed up. We can't allow, listen, we can't allow discord in our body to get us dysfunctioning. How many know when our body's not aligned, if you've ever had a part, you guys see the stomach? It's the part of me that doesn't agree with being skinny. It's not in line, right? It's not in line with what my head thinks it should be. I've got some work to do. How many know we've got work to do? So we're set apart in a body, listen, that's not my own. Listen, if I'm just a finger in the body of Christ, because how many know Jesus is the head? Do you guys know that in Scripture, Jesus is the head? All right, I'm just checking, right? So the finger isn't going to tell the head what to do, right? The toe's not going to tell the finger, you need to operate like this. No, I need to be aligned, functioning to my purpose. I'm saved as a part of the body. Secondly, and you guys can go ahead and start, a royal priesthood. I'm saved into a royal priesthood, a sanctified priesthood. 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. In the Old Testament, a priest was the mediator between God and men. And the priest, in essence, would grab the hand of God's people and grab the hand of God, and he would stand in the gap as a great mediator. Our high priest in the New Testament is Jesus. Jesus grabbed the hand of humanity and the hand of the Father, and on the cross, he bridged the gap. In fact, in Latin, the word priesthood or priest means bridge builder. Everyone say bridge builder. Jesus is the ultimate bridge builder, spanning the gap between people and God. And now as God's royal priest, we continue the ministry of reconciliation today. We reach out our hand to humanity. We reach out our hand to God, and we reconcile not only people with God, but people to one another. You see, the multi-ethnic mosaic is about building bridges, not burning them. The multi-ethnic mosaic is about building bridges across ethnic and class boundaries to reach the lost, the unredeemed people, and to build up a body of believers. The second thing that we're set apart to is a temple, a sanctified temple, a holy temple. Ephesians 2, 21 to 22, the building is joined together stone by stone. All of us, that's you and I, are chosen and sealed in Him, rising up to become a holy temple in the Lord. How many know something is being built here at Real Life? In Him, you are being built up together, created a sacred dwelling place among you where God can live in the Spirit. To really understand this, you have to understand that in the Old Testament, the temple was known as the place where heaven would touch earth. Could you imagine if we really understood and grasped sanctification, that God was putting us together as living stones, building a place that when people encounter us, they encounter heaven touching earth. You see, we need to stop throwing stones and become living stones. Number four, and I'm almost done. He sets us apart to a sanctified family. Ephesians 2:19, and so you are no longer called outcasts and wanderers, but citizens with God's people, members of God's holy family, and residents of His household. How many know He puts the lonely in families? You see, God has a multi-ethnic family of sons and daughters who treat each other equally, not based on ethnicity, social class, or gender, but on the basis of being clothed in Christ. What clothes are we wearing? And lastly, a holy nation, a sanctified nation. Genesis 12, 1 to 3, it's the promise, the fall of Adam and Eve. And in Genesis chapter 12, God promises Abraham, He says, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I'll show you, and I will make you into a great nation. This promise right here is fulfilled by Jesus Christ. And listen, when we accept Him as our personal Lord and Savior, listen, come on, you become a citizen of a holy nation, a set-apart nation. You see, as followers of Jesus, God has given us a new nation and a new allegiance. You are no longer citizens of this world, but of the kingdom. His kingdom is worth dying for. His kingdom is worth living for. And His kingdom is the only one that deserves our full allegiance and loyalty. And this morning, I want to challenge you to pray this prayer, church. Be sanctified. Will you say that with me? Be sanctified. Will you say it with me again? Be sanctified. Listen, God wants to set you apart so you can be a part of what He's doing in this hour. You see, this holy nation is a global family of diversity. And after Jesus' resurrection and ascension, a new group of humans populated the earth, a multi-ethnic, blood-bought, blood-covered people called the church, God's new and holy nation. And this morning, I want you to have the revelation of what you've been sanctified and set apart to, a body, come on, a temple, a priesthood, a family, a nation. Will you take your cup this morning that you were handed on the way in? And we're going to take communion, and then we're going to worship. And I'm going to ask those of you, if you, again, don't feel comfortable joining us for worship following communion, you're free to exit out the back doors here or the side door going out the restroom area there and out the back if you parked in the back. But this is what I want to say to you. In 1 Corinthians 11:17, if you could get out the bread. You know, even in communion, it's like it's this like this separate thing. It's like this individual thing, right? But I want you to think about if we were to all just put our leavened bread together. How many of you know that'd be like probably like so small, it'd probably just be like a piece of bread, right? But you're a part of a greater whole. You're a part of a greater body. This represents the body of Christ. You're a part of something bigger than you've ever imagined. 1 Corinthians 11:17, Paul says this. He says, I cannot praise you, for it sounds as if more harm than good is done when you meet together. First, I hear that there are divisions among you when you meet as a church. And to some extent, I believe it. But of course, there must be divisions among you so that you who have God's approval will be recognized. In other words, there was a power struggle of leadership in the Corinthian church. And Jesus says this, for I pass on to you this, in verse 23, what I received from the Lord on the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and he gave thanks to God for it and he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance for me. Listen, Jesus laid down his body so that we could be a part of one body. Not a divided body, but a unified body that together we would understand, listen, God, this is my part. But Lord, I'm a part of a mass body of people, Lord, that are going to change the world. God, you laid down your life so that I might lay my life down for somebody else. And today as we take the bread, I want you to thank God, just like Jesus did. Will you thank God for his body, for being apart, for being sanctified, for being set apart in his body? You have a part, you have a place in him. Father, we thank you. God, thank you for joining us together. God, to one another. God, I thank you that every part has a place. Every part has its function. Every part, God, is a blessing. And Father, I pray, God, that if anyone is feeling disjointed, if anyone is feeling displaced, Lord, I pray, God, that you would bring us into alignment. Lord, we love you. We praise you. And thank you. In Jesus' name, let's partake together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can stand with me. Jesus took the cup of the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with his blood. He said, do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes. This is what I want us to pray over the cup today. It's simple. It's two things we're going to pray. Will you say, Jesus, be glorified. And now I want you to just say, Father, be sanctified. In my life, be sanctified. Be glorified. Be sanctified. In the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you, God, that your blood, God, connects our hearts, connects our spirit together, Father. Lord, we pray that every division, every wall, God, would crumble. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we drink of one cup today and celebrate your goodness in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Let's drink together. Hallelujah. We're going to worship. And this is the cool thing. We don't have a time limit. Want to thank you for joining us online. We're going to go offline right now, but we're going to go right here. We're just going to connect with God. So if you'd like to stay for worship, just lift your hands up to him. No time. And let's worship as Pastor Brandon comes and he leads.
Come on, lift that up. See ya.